Win an argument by starting a fight. I love you all. See you next time. Stay tuned.
Falando, zombando de mim.
From WSLR LP 96.5 FM in Sarasota and WBPV LP 100.1 FM in Bradenton, I'm Stephanie Coachman, and these are your WSLR news headlines for Wednesday, April 15th. We begin with Cuba's tough situation and humanitarian implications. The Catholic Church is raising concerns over worsening conditions in the island, warning that fuel shortages and blackouts, worsened in part by a new U.S. blockade on ore imports, are pushing the country toward what Miami Archbishop Thomas Lewinsky warns could lead to humanitarian collapse. In an interview with USA Today, Lewinsky said the energy crisis is disrupting electricity, food distribution, and access to medical care, with vulnerable populations facing the greatest impact. Lewinsky's warning comes as President Trump entered a war of words with the Pope over the U.S.-Israeli attack on Iran. Now to Florida, where wildlife conditions continue to escalate. Thousands of acres are currently burning across the state, with a major fire near Naples expanding to roughly 1,000 acres, prompting evacuations. Officials say dry conditions, rising temperatures, and shifting winds have made containment efforts more difficult, though some easing winds have helped crews make limited progress. Emergency responders remain on scene, and residents are being urged to stay alert as wildfire risks remain elevated across Florida. Next, to the end of a campus in Massachusetts with a direct connection to Sarasota. Hampshire College, a private liberal arts institution in Amherst, announced it will close after the fall of 2026 semester. 3 years ago, the college enrolled students transferring out of New College of Florida. Some of those transfer students are now affected by the shutdown. Roughly 50 new college students made the move to Hampshire in 2023 after a political takeover of the Sarasota campus. Hampshire, founded in the 1960s with a focus on student-driven education, has faced shrinking enrollment and worsening financial challenges. Filmmaker and alumnus Ken Burns called the closure an incalculable loss. And finally, on a brighter note, right here at home, Siesta Beach has once again been ranked the number one beach in the United States, this time by U.S. News and World Report's annual Best Vacations rate. Known for its powdery white quartz sand and clear Gulf waters, the Sarasota destination continues to earn top national recognition. Until next time, stay informed, stay grounded, and stay engaged. This has been Stephanie Coachman with your WSLR News Headline.
And welcome, welcome, welcome to the Peace and Justice Report. I'm Tom Walker, and Bob Connors is here for a change because we usually alternate weeks, but today is a special day, and we'll be telling you why. And we have some special guests with us today, too, a big surprise. So I want to tell you first, though, that we're going to be asking you to donate to WSLR and the giving partner and so forth. But let me remind you that the views and opinions expressed by the hosts, guests, and callers on WSLR programs are our own and do not necessarily reflect those of WSLR, its staff, or volunteers. As you may have heard in the previous hour, starting today at noon and until noon tomorrow, you can go to thegivingpartner.org and search for the WSLR page, and then donations of $25 to up to $100 will be doubled. And that's great. You can do that starting at noon. But, you know, if you call 941-894-6469 right now, we'll take your pledge, write it down, and enter it for you starting at noon. Even better, and this is, we're going to be talking about this, even better, you can come to WSLR because we're going to be here live doing things for 24 straight hours starting at noon. It's called the Be the One-a-thon, and we'll be telling you about that. I've got a whole bunch of events I can tell you about in a few minutes. It was, somebody's taking a picture. Look at that. Oh, I should put David Arlene on too. It's going to be hard to get him. Take a picture right there. There.
Hi.
All right, take a close up. There you go. Okay, but I spilled the beans here. We have two special guests this morning, Dave Beaton and Arlene Sweeting. And as you may know, they're the founders of WSLR and Fogartyville, the Peace Education and Action Center. And they're going to tell us about themselves, what they're doing now, what they did then, how it all got started. But there's a great history of our station on the website. You go to About Us up at the top and click About Us and then history and so forth. But Arlene and Dave can fill in with even more details, and we'll be doing that in a few minutes. So welcome, Dave and Arlene. Let's see if we can hear.
Good morning, Bob and Tom, and good morning, Sarasota.
Okay, you look pretty good on the dials there.
Okay, good.
They'll tell us out there in the telephone land if whether or not they can hear you correctly. I just wasn't sure I got the Zoom hooked in properly.
Are we the one? Are we the one?
We're going to be the one.
You have been the one for a long time.
So, we were so excited to be in Sarasota the past couple weeks and get to see all the great progress that's being made at WSLR in Fogartyville. The new team that's in place is just doing such a great job and has so much energy, and we are thrilled to be with you this morning.
Yes.
And if you don't think you're the one, you are the one.
One of the first things we did when we visited the station is we got our pledge forms from Leon, and we completed our forms. So we need everyone else to do the same thing.
Right. And my pledge forms, I'm still filling them out. I got to bring them in by noon, I believe. But
filling them out, all those people, you're filling them out. The donations you got over the phone from past guests, from friends, from family, everyone is a quality candidate.
Everyone listening is a candidate because without you who are listening, we wouldn't be here. So we're listener supported. We take no outside donations from corporations or business centers or whatever. It's all from people and nonprofits and other good sources.
It's an amazing thing. I mentioned on the air yesterday there are over 700 nonprofits who are involved in this giving challenge, because the Patterson Foundation, the Sarasota Community Foundation are so kind, so generous, so philanthropic that they've done this. This is their 10th time that they've done this, and they've given $9 million to nonprofits. But I was going to mention, I did this on the air yesterday, we've had so many guests on the Peace and Justice Reports with nonprofits in the Sarasota Manatee County area. So by supporting us, you're supporting all the nonprofits, right, John?
Right. And I send out a letter, probably today at noon, to all those people who've been on our show in the past saying, thank you for being on the show. You have $25,
right?
But they respond because they appreciate the exposure we give them, and we appreciate what they do. You know, nonprofits are one of the main people we have here, besides authors, activists, and who else?
Well, I'm not an author, but I am an activist.
And yes,
you are a nonprofit too, so you're having them on today. Two out of three.
And that was Dave Sweeting. Dave Beaton. No, you didn't change. You did. Hey, I'm 83. That was Dave Beaton and Arlene Sweeting, and they are our guests this morning. They started the whole thing. Tell us quickly how and when it started, how all of this started, Arlene or Dave.
Wow. How did this start, Arlene?
How did y'all...
It started at Fogartyville Cafe in Bradenton, which a number of our supporters will remember. And it was Dave worked at the community college at that time, and he'd become aware of the opportunity for nonprofits to apply for low-power radio stations. He'd actually tried to convince the community college to apply for a license, but they didn't express an interest. So we actually got in a little bit late to the game after someone else in Sarasota had applied for a license. It was the Animal Sanctuary that had been located there on US 41, and they were a nonprofit. They had applied for the license, one in Bradenton and one in Sarasota, actually, but they ran into some hard times and weren't able to to continue with the application, and they knew me through my work with the Sierra Club, and they reached out, and we talked, and they actually, we took over their application, and we were able to get the license in Sarasota. It was a mixed application because there were five applicants for the 96.5 frequency. So we had to look and find out who we thought we could work with. And the group we thought would be the best was the New College Student Alliance, the students of New College,
right,
when it was still the Honors College of Florida, and had very creative, radical thinkers there. We joined with them, and we actually pulled our application, and the New College Student Alliance was awarded the application for the 96.5 frequency. And we worked with them over the years. You know, we started in a small house there on Royal Palm Avenue across from what was then Winn-Dixie. It's now the neighborhood Walmart.
Right.
The college held a license for a number of years until the board, we had a joint board made up of college students and college affiliated. There were new professors and things like that also on the board. But when the board started to look at actually purchasing a property and moving from that little house, they really wanted the security to hold the license for the station. So we went through a whole process with the students. It was very democratic. It was very transparent. They held community meetings or college meetings and did research. And they took a vote of the whole student body to transfer the license to the WSLR nonprofit. And we had an agreement that they would continue to be involved, obviously, at the station because we want that youthful energy as well. So it was great. That you know, relationship with the students has really enhanced the station so much, from their service on our board, their service on our programming committee, and them bringing wonderful music and ideas and thoughtful presentation to the radio dial. So we'd love to see that continue.
Right. We used to have a place on the board for New College students, and we still encourage students. We still have students participating as reporters, news gatherers, and so forth. Yeah. So, and then, so you had the restaurant, and then what made you move to the, that was in Bradenton. What made you move to Sarasota and close the restaurant and become a nonprofit?
Well, the signal, you are, the signal that we got was based in Sarasota.
Oh, okay.
So for a couple of years there, I think we were driving back and forth from Bradenton to Sarasota. We were doing events in local venues and coffee houses in Sarasota. And we realized that, well, we probably need to move the whole operation to Sarasota. And that's what happened, right?
Yes, it became a little too much, you know, for both of us to keep going back and forth and running the Fogartyville Cafe in Bradenton. And you know what? That space up there had become so important to people that they really wanted to try to find a way to continue it, even though we were leaving. And
oh, they did.
Huh? We had a community meeting where a lot of our regulars came out, and you know, we discussed it. But there wasn't really anyone with the business acumen to take. And so when we came down to Sarasota with the radio station, which we did because we thought we had the ability to reach more people through radio,
right?
You know, as an organizing and an activist tool. So we did that. But then, you know, what we kept hearing was how much people missed having a space to gather.
Yes.
And that had been really, really important to people. So when we had the ability to do so, we started looking for a place that we could once again create a space for a community to come together.
And
I think that's what's so special about what we have right now at 525 Kumquat, is we not only have the radio station and the broadcast airwaves and the stream and all of that that goes with that, but we also have Fogartyville as a place where people can actually come together and meet face-to-face and not on their phones or on the Internet, you know, and share ideas and share music,
share
food, and fellowship, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I bet.
It's really become, I think, a vital hub for the community.
Well, I went to at least one LPFM conference out west, and all of the other LPFMs are so jealous of us because we have this huge space where we can have people actually meet each other. And for a while, they were separate. It was Peace Education and Action Center, which Arlene was chairman of the board, I guess, and Dave basically was the radio man. And then decided to merge them about 11 years ago, 12 years ago. And we, Dave and Arlene, who owned the building, offered to sell it to WSLR. And I was on the board. We agreed. And we now have a mortgage. And so nobody can ever take this away from us, which is so cool.
And yes, that is really important with the price of real estate in Sarasota, right?
Right, exactly.
That's great. Yeah. And that's one of the exciting things for us up here. We're now in Alberta, Michigan, and we have a low-power radio license up here, Woo-Woo 100.1
yep.
on your FM dial.
Yeah.
And we also had the success. You know, we built it very quickly because we obviously had experience in building a low-power station.
Sure.
So we were able to get on the air within like 8 months of receiving our construction permit. And what happened a lot sooner than we had thought, we were operating out of a trailer in our backyard, but we had the opportunity to buy a small building in downtown Alberta, which is, for those of you listening and haven't had any knowledge of the area, it's a town of less than 300 people, but it's the coolest little town. So if you're ever on a trip up here, please put us on your list to visit.
Sure.
But we now have
the Mercantile Center, right?
A little building on M22 in downtown Alberta. It's the former library here in town. The station has already moved in and is broadcasting from that facility. And we have a grand opening for the other part of the building, which is going to be the Alberta Labor Heritage Center, which we will open in June. And the reason that it is the Alberta Labor Heritage Center, I'm going to turn it over to Dave, because he completely fell in love with the history of this area.
Yes.
I'm going to let him go off a little bit on that.
Well, I'm not trying to get political, but this town went through all the stages of capitalism in a very short period of time.
Oh.
And I thought it was interesting to study that. So this town was a deep water port that developed lumber, iron, railroads, car ferries. So car ferries were back in the beginning of the end of the 1890s, where railroad cars would go on boats across Lake Michigan to Wisconsin, Minnesota, and the UP, and carry goods to the, basically the Northwest Passage going across the northern United States and avoid the railroad traffic in Chicago. So this was a bustling center of commerce, of industry. The people, it wasn't a company town per se, but it was a railroad town. And the house that we live in is a former railroad boarding house. Hmm. So the workers worked around the clock here, whether they were doing lumber or steel or railroads or boats. This was the boatyard, as they called it. The boats all originated from here and went across the lake to five different destinations on the other shore of Lake Michigan. So as the capitalism as the industry started to change, then the town kind of imploded, that the workers were laid off in the 1970s and the 1980s. And so what's left is kind of a shell, and we're trying to reconstitute some of the history so people don't forget how industry works. The workers are sometimes forgotten about by corporations.
Yeah.
There was a lot of animosity when the railroad left this town, and so people weren't happy with the railroad because they lost all their jobs, they lost all their boat jobs, and they didn't, at that point, they were too close to appreciate the history that they had here. So we've been trying to bring that back and let people see how industry developed in this area. It was very crucial to northern Michigan. There were only two deep water ports on this side of the state, in the northern part, Traverse City, and this little town of Alberta, Frankfort. Frankfort is the sister town, which is across the bay from us, and they became the shopkeepers.
and lumber barons and the railroad management, whereas Little Alberta became the workers of all of the industry here. So that's one of our objectives, is to, when people come up here and see the beautiful water and the beautiful beaches and the beautiful dunes and the beautiful environment, we want them to remember the history that was here, the workers that worked up here and toiled immensely against the elements of nature. Mm-hmm. They ran boats across Lake Michigan 12 months a year, 24/7. It was incredible journeys that they took on the lake, through the ice, through the snow. And to this day, the lake basically shuts down for 2 months, even with the big freighters. But in the old days, these boats, they went out 3, 4 times, 5 times a day across the lake into the ice and into the snow in the wintertime. It was really a struggle of man against nature, which we're seeing again in a different way now in this climate environment that we're in. Today, as a matter of fact, the dams, the river dams up here are full. We're facing flood watches and tornado warnings. So as man still trying to live, what do we call it, live peacefully with nature, we still need to struggle with. Radio, of course, was very important to people. Radio started up here in the late 1890s. Marconi, considered one of the founders of radio, started the first ship-to-shore radio station up here in Alberta. And the radio tower was on one of the dune hills.
Wow.
And they broadcast through basically Morse code out to the ships to find out their locations, how far they were from the port, whether they were missing the, you know, the ships could determine how close to the port they were by the strength of the signal coming from the radio. So it just fell into us that radio was a pivotal, the beginning of radio was pivotal here.
Wow.
Before Marconi announced in Chicago, this station was on the air. They tested it and ran it up here to communicate with the boats as they traveled across the lake. Or the sea. We call it the sea up here. It's a formidable force, just like the Gulf of Mexico is. As you prepare for hurricanes down here, we prepare for hurricane storms up here. Blizzards up here in the wintertime. We experienced our first blizzard this winter. So we understand what the workers had to do every day up here, go out in the weather and combat the weather for commerce, you know? It's amazing what man will do to make a living.
Some of those trains were, some of those boats were actually carrying trains, I think you told me, Dave, right?
Yes. All the boats up until 1984, they started carrying regular cars, but they were carrying train cars up until the late 70s, early 80s.
Yep. To get across the lake?
They brought coal from coal mines in Michigan to the farmers in Minnesota so they could be warm in the winter. And they brought wheat from Minnesota to Michigan for Battle Creek, where they were making all the Kellogg cereal. So, and then they brought, when Ford started making their cars out of Detroit, they brought new cars across the lake on railway cars to the farmers to sell them, tractors and other implements across the lake to the farmers and the businesses on the other side of the lake.
So just talking about the importance of radio, and this community up here has really embraced woo-woo. There used to be a commercial station up here that operated very much in a community fashion. It was called WBNZ, and it got bought out by a larger operation and moved to another area. But the people here really remember that, and they really relate to radio. So they embraced us pretty quickly here, and we've.
I think in rural communities across the United States, radio is still embraced. In fact, across the country, radio has held strong. About 34-35% of all car listeners are listening to radio. About 30% are streaming. About 30% are doing nothing. I don't know. And another 30-35% are listening to radio in their car radio. So, especially in local areas, I think it's even higher. And they're showing that the increase of non-commercial radio has been going up over the last 10, 15 years.
Oh, really?
It's been gaining strength. Commercial radio has been declining, and non-commercial radio has gone up about 16% over the last 10 or 12 years.
Wow.
So we want to tell the listeners of WSLR the radio is an effective way to communicate with the community. You're facing your hurricane season coming up. You want to stay tuned to WSLR. They have a news department. They have a new news reporter. They're going to keep you, you know, informed of what's going on in your community. That's the key.
And I know Dave and I have spent more than one night down at the station during a hurricane storm, camping out so that we can keep people informed about what's going on. And I know that Johannes and the other members of the team down there have that same commitment to make sure that we stay on the air and keep people informed during emergency events.
We left Jesse Coleman our sleeping bags so he can sleep down the station. They're a little bit short for him, but, you know, it'll be fine. Camping pad.
And the reason that we were just in Sarasota was we were cleaning out some of the personal effects in our house so that we could welcome the new WSLR news reporter, Noah Bookstein. He's going to be staying at our house and working for the station. And we just wish him the best. It's a really important news cycle this year, so I'm really thrilled that WSLR has invested in local news by hiring their first full-time reporter. I mean, you think that this is election season, right? There's so much information that we need to cover and make sure that our community is aware of. The same up here, Dave serves as a Gilmore trustee, which is our local township up here. He's on the board. And we got a presentation from our county administrator last night. And in August, on the ballot up here, is an amendment that the voters have to renew a millage, basically. And if they fail to renew it, the county is going to lose $6.5 million, which means we're going to lose a lot of services, right?
Wow.
And we just went through something similar last year with the road commission trying to get some funding, a millage funding for a new building, and it failed twice. And because they really had very little of a campaign, honestly, I think, to tell people why they needed it. But this is some of the importance of the radio, right, and getting that information out so that the voters know exactly what they're voting on and why it's important.
And I think you guys are in a more urban environment.
Right.
And you're more dependent. The people are more dependent on the services of the county. You have a very developed emergency management system there, which I'm sure all the reporters will plug into. We did when we were there. Keep the community informed. In rural communities, there's a certain level of self-reliance. So when the flood was coming, they just put up a post. There's no emergency activation center for you to go spend the night. So I'm sitting on the emergency committee here in the county.
Great.
And we're going to be talking about that because as the population ages out, you've got to supply services to the older folks. We lost a little bit of power last night. And, you know, you lose power, well, you better have a flashlight and some candles, but hope that your house is, you know, is protected and, you know, fire is a threat up here as well. So we have fire and water threats, storm threats. But we need to get, so it's critical that radio become an avenue for informing the public, just like in WSLR, all the time, especially during the hurricane season. Keep people abreast of what's going on. I want to congratulate you. I really think that doing the headline news every day, the various hours, is really beneficial because times are changing fast and weather conditions are changing fast. And it gets you, gets the listener an opportunity to stay up to date with what's going on.
We're talking to Dave Beaton and Arlene Sweeting, who founded Dave Beaton and Arlene Sweeting founded WSLR and Fogartyville. And also, we're right here with me. I got Bob Connors, and Bob was on the board of the Peace Education and Action Center, was housed in what is now Fogartyville before we merged the two. So Bob, thanks for doing that.
And I'll just clarify something that you said earlier, Bob, and thanks to Bob for all his years of service on our Peace Center board. But the Peace Center and WSLR did not merge. the Peace Center actually turned over
right.
The operation of the Fogartyville Community Media and Arts Center to WSLR. And the Peace Center continued, but then more recently, the Peace Center has merged with Mosaic Movements.
Okay.
So I just want to let people know that, you know, during the Giving Challenge, what I do, and I know what many people do, is they look at the nonprofits in the community that have meaning for them, you know, that they've been actively involved in.
Sure.
And you don't have to choose to support just one.
Right.
You know, you can support more than one. So we want WSLR and Fogartyville to be your first choice, but also look at the others. I'll just mention Mosaic Movements as one that could definitely use support. And, you know, an organization that I really like locally, Florida Veterans for Common Sense.
Of course.
And and not just because you and I received an award from them, Tom, but because they really have been so vocal for so long in standing up against fascism, right?
Right.
Think about, I think they were the first canary in the coal mine as far as Sarasota is concerned. Gene Jones has just been on that continuously. And so thank you and a big shout out to the Florida Vets and the work they do, not only on that front, but also in building microforests in our community, which they've become very active in doing to battle climate change.
I'm going to play this recording back when we need to pitch again. You guys are so good. And yes, you're right. Gene Jones and his microforest and his anti-fascism has been essential. And we're working on, by the way, we're working on an essay contest next fall for the students. They can earn money towards the scholarships, and all they have to do is write an essay about Tom Paine. Tom Paine.
Well, you know what we're doing up here, Tom?
What?
So it is the 250th anniversary of our country this year, and
right.
That celebration at the national level has kind of been co-opted a little bit by our
right.
administration.
Right.
But here in the state of Michigan, we have a great celebration and great themes set by the state. One of them is Unfinished Revolutions. So we are going to, on Tom Paine Day, which is June 8th, we are celebrating Tom Paine up here. We're
going
to do a film and have a potluck and then do a community reading of Common Sense so people can really get in touch with the ideas that sparked the American Revolution.
You got to read the whole thing.
It's only 58 pages that day.
Wow. Wow. That's a great idea. Can we steal that idea?
You can steal that idea.
Steal this radio. Right.
Well, we've already got it approved by the school board, and they said it's in light of the 250th anniversary of the United States. What would a student, what would Tom Paine say today to us or to his student, and how
exactly.
What would he think? Go ahead, Arlene.
And while you're at it, read the Magna Carta, okay? It's all being run over these days, so we got to stay on top of our history.
Yeah.
Community radio is usually listened to about 3 hours a day by the listeners. So if you're listening now, you can give later when you're listening. But be the one. Give to community radio and Fogartyville. You know, you are the one. You folks out there listening, you make it happen. You know, this thing does not happen by Tom Walker. It happens by the thousands of people they give
that's right.
little amounts of money.
Right.
JFK.
Well, with that in mind.
These people, the working people of Sarasota that you know, Pat Monahan, you know, they understand. It's getting that understanding that this is our media. We own this media. The people.
That's right.
And we can give you accurate and informed information and tell you what's going on and how to make a change in your community. It's so crucial at this time. It's better than a podcast, okay? Because
yes.
Because you can interact.
Yes, it's live.
It's an interactive, and it changes, and it's there for you all the day, 24/7. You know, you get up at night and you can't sleep, you can turn.
There we are. Yep.
There we are.
That's really powerful right now. This is radio by the community, for the community. Because you think of the trust in our government institutions, our larger media institutions, it's right. not there anymore. These guys have sold out, right?
Right.
WSLR is never going to sell out.
Exactly.
If they do, I'm coming down there.
Don't make me come down there.
So what I want everyone who's listening right now to do, because the Giving Challenge doesn't kick off till noon, right?
That's right.
So we want you to take your phone out. if you can, if you're driving, don't do it. Do a mental reminder, but set a little alarm for noon.
Oh, good idea.
There might be some special prizes that WSLR could qualify for in that first hour, if it's like it
has
in the past.
Yeah. That's
so
right.
Set your alarm for noon and make your donations right away to support WSLR and Provo. This is such a vital resource for the community.
And make a list of your favorite shows that you like. You know,
sure, and mention them.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bob, the caller, if you call in, tell them what your favorite shows are, you know, and introduce yourself.
Yes, yes.
A little history about yourself, how you started listening to WSLR.
Great idea.
Was it Fogartyville that brought you to WSLR, or was it WSLR that brought you to Fogartyville?
I still meet people who don't know, one but not the other. You know, they don't know we're connected.
I'll just reiterate, that means so much to programmers that you give them a shout-out, you know. Call them, give them feedback on their shows, even when it's not Pledge Drive Week. They love to hear from you. So,
And you know, you just, if you're a listener, just think of yourself as a cousin, okay? A cousin to everybody in at WSLR.
Well, that's a good way to think of it.
We went and visited Daddy-O, and he gave me a CD and a record, and it was like old home week.
Yes.
You know, a family meeting up again. You know, when you're thinking about, oh, well, this is one of my things. When you're thinking about, well, I'm getting older, who am I going to leave my legacy to? Who am I going to make a contribution to? I only have one kid, and he's doing great. So maybe I can leave something to WSLR or WUWU or Fortinville. You know? So think about your legacy. What do you want this world to be like for the people that are going to come after you? And you want them to have community radio. You want them to have a community space. Because we may be going through a long change here in this country. We may be in this situation for a long time. And that means that WSLR needs to stay strong. It needs to stay strong through this process. Because we got to come out of this on the other side with a big, bright light. And big speakers and loud music, okay? So you got to help us with that.
Music has always been part of the movement, and that's certainly true today.
You guys are so good.
Media.
Yep.
Independent media doesn't just happen, right? It exists because people step forward to volunteer and make it happen, and they choose to support it. So when you make that decision to support WSLR, you are making a decision to support a healthy democracy, right? Because we can't have healthy democracy without independent media.
No DJs are paid, but we have one heck of a staff down there, a diverse staff of hardworking people that are keeping the mission alive. And they need your support. And they're growing, and they need your support.
That's right. We do. We do. That was Dave Beaton. And, go ahead, Arlene.
What? Well, I was going to say there's no better time than this next 24 hours.
Exactly.
Right?
Well, let me tell you about
the
this.
Dogs are going to weigh in on that, too. You've got Bella and Pee-wee, and they say yes. WSLR, well, all you dog lovers out there.
Speaking of 24 hours, today at noon, we're starting a 24-hour Be the One-a-thon, basically a live event for 12 hours that starts at noon and ends at noon tomorrow. Right, Bob? And we're starting today at 11:45. You can come in and hear Kerry Seidman, Kathy Antunes, Michael Barfield, and Kelly Kirshner live on stage in Fogartyville. And then we have the Sandbox All-Stars, the Drink and Draw, a telethon-themed Drink and Draw out there in Fogartyville. We have a Poetry Slam coming up at 8:30 tonight. We have Synth World, and we have Lumpy Tunes, all live here, and that you can come and listen and talk to the people involved. Pancakes on the patio tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. People,
yes.
The Pops Orchestra Jazz Combo tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. So we'll be here all night. So if you're
fantastic.
Yes.
Pajama party. Wear your pajamas and come spin on
a pajama party, right?
JFK will be there at 3 or 3:30 today playing some songs on stage as well.
Is that right?
He's one of the key stage hands at Fogartyville.
Yeah. We couldn't do without JFK.
Yeah.
And you know what? When you mentioned Kathy Antunes and those folks, that made me think of, we have another little station up here we've been helping. What happened was these licenses for the new LPFM stations were granted at the end of 2003. And yeah. you had 3 years to get on the air.
Right.
So basically, these stations have to be on the air by the end of 2026 in order to hold that license. And so we've been looking around Michigan for like-minded groups that apply for stations but haven't gotten them on the air yet or are having a little trouble since they got on the air. And we're trying to help them out. So we want to say a big thank you to WSLR because on our visit down there, Jesse allowed us to clean out some of the closets and bring some equipment back up here to share with those other radio stations.
Wow.
So we'll be reaching out to them and trying to help them get on the air because, you know, we believe in community radio. And we want to see other communities have the same opportunity that Sarasota and Alberta have. So we've been working with a little station up here in Elk Rapids, which is about an hour north of us. And they have this great situation, too, because they not only have the radio station, but they have this really cute old theater that they operate.
Wow.
So exactly. They have the same situation that WSLR and Fogartyville have. So that this can be so important to their community. So we've gone up there like
two times
ago, and they've come down here actually to visit us. And we've connected them with Pacifica, and Otis has got them streaming, and we've got Megaseg operational for them. And so they're doing great. Last year, Grant Peebles came up here, and he performed at their theater, and then he came down here and performed in our backyard. So, you know, we're partnering with them in that way, and we're looking forward to seeing Grant again, and maybe Steve Harvey coming up this year, too. Woo-woo! Come on, Sarasota musicians, come up and visit us!
Why not? Why not? Great, 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 great.
Well, I can say I did go up and visit David and Arlene before
yes, Bob.
The station got on the air. And it's an incredible spot. What's it, a 10-minute walk to to Lake Michigan?
To the beach.
it's unbelievable. And then every night, David and I went out walking and around the neighborhood and through some really nice trails. And it's just an incredible spot. So I fully understand why you're interested transferring their allegiance from here once
oh no I think they're
20 years not the allegiance they still have allegiance to here
right
I'm not saying that.
They're duplicating it
to make the big move other than the weather I would do the same thing other than the weather but anyway I'm glad you enjoyed that snowstorm but you know what I was just going to read something here, and it just disappeared from the
screen.
That's
okay. No, here you'll find it.
I would like to read it.
What is it?
It's relating to the Giving Challenge.
Okay.
The first Giving Challenge raised $2.4 million for 107 nonprofits. And fast forward to the last one, which is 2024,
right.
it had 53,000 donors, total donors, contributed $17 million in 24 hours to benefit 724 nonprofits.
All right.
So since 2012, nine giving challenges. I've been saying they've given $9 million. They've given $92 million in unrestricted funding for area nonprofits to respond to community needs with flexibility and innovation. And this last sentence really has the meaning that is so appropriate to what David and Arlene have been talking about. The hallmark of the Giving Challenge is its Be the One philosophy, which reflects the Community Foundation's belief that everyone can be a philanthropist. That word, you're going to have
philanthropist.
That's beautiful, beautiful word. And have the potential to impact a person, a cause, and a community.
That's right. You can be the one. That's right. Each of us can be a philanthropist.
It doesn't have to be a big foundation, a big grant. It can be you as an individual knowing that your money's going to be doubled going to one of your causes that you love. Any causes, but I want to stress again, radio sometimes is the last line of communication in crisis. The internet could go down. The power could go off. But WSLR could still be on the air, telling you what's going on, giving you essential news and information to get through the crisis. You know there's crises.
Right.
We're going through them every day here.
Right.
So community radio is high engagement, and it builds high trust. Compared to social media, there is no AI behind that microphone. It's an individual from the community
talking to you and telling you what they know. Now, mistakes are made, for sure. But you call in and say, wait a minute, I just heard that the dam didn't break. Okay.
I think Dave froze for a second.
That the dam is holding, that the hurricane is approaching, you know, that the fire is stopped or the fire is spreading. It's so important. It's a two-way. A podcast is a one-way.
That's right.
We are a broadcast, which means that you don't have to pay to listen. You can contribute to make us sustain ourselves, but it's a broadcast. Your neighbors can listen. You can listen. So that community is informed and you can pass the information on. It's very crucial. In these times, I cannot stress it enough. When we're traveling across the country, as we did this last couple weeks, from north to south, we tune in to Radio Free Georgia in Atlanta.
Hey!
We tune in to WOXO in Louisville. You know, we tune in to community stations across the country. And they're streaming, they're broadcasting, and they have a sense. When you listen to them, they have a sense that you're part of their family. And that's
exactly.
Really important. It's not pushing a product. It's not pushing a particular type of music. It's broad-based, community-driven, full of fun and life and mistakes. It's great to listen to. You know, you guys have done great. The new studio sounds great. I think that the new team is off and running. They've got big plans, and they need your support. So be the one and give the one. Give them what they need to sustain themselves. It's only going to get better. As times get worse, WSLR needs to get better.
Oh, so, and we will, thanks to...
Yeah. And as Dave, you know, talks about crises, and we've talked about some environmental crises. We've talked about the political crises, but there's also people talking more about this crisis of loneliness, right? And I think that community radio is great for that as well, but even more, Fogartyville is so great for that, a place you can come together and actually see and interact and talk to people. So I want to give a big shout out to Ariel, because he's been doing a fantastic job over there. That place is so busy with music and films and lectures and community meetings and all kinds of great things. I know they're having this weekend the Next Gen Creators, where young people can come and have art experiences, and they have a film. Just so much going on in that space. He is doing an incredible job over there. So we love you, Ariel. Keep it up. Such energy and enthusiasm that he brings to the team there.
And by the way, Ariel promised me that we would have a time in October to show the new film by Amy Goodman, Steal This Story, Please, which I saw last night. Yes, I did. And I talked to the director, and I made her promise that she would try to bring it to Fogartyville. They'll be in Tampa, but I figure why not swing down here one night and show it to our people here? And I gave her my card. She didn't have a card, but she promised to be in touch. So I think Jill, I can't remember her name. I'm sorry. But she gave a great talk at the theater, and we'll have that.
Good turnout.
It was a good turnout. It's full house. And this is down at Cine Bistro, which is a huge theater with the big easy chairs, you know. And then she talked for quite a while after the movie. So we're proud of what.
We've also reached out to Democracy Now. We're hoping we can get them to come to our little community as well.
Oh wow! Show the film.
Yes, to show the film.
Well, they'll probably be nearby in some large city and just, you know, get them to come down for one night, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We have that relationship, you know. They've known us for a long time. So.
That's right.
I have to mention, before WSLI was on the air, Amy Goodman came to Fogartyville in Bradenton about a year or so before. And so, yes, it's a long relationship.
You remember, yes. In the parking lot, we had the big nonviolence bus in the back. And she spoke in the parking lot on the back end of a trailer. Yeah.
Wow.
So she'll do it.
Yeah.
She's wonderful. She's come up at other times to Sarasota, and we'll be glad to have her again. She was out in California last night, so she couldn't make it to Sarasota.
Is the number there 941-894-6469?
How did you know that?
That's the number.
No, but I think people need to pick it up. You can make your pledge ahead of time.
Yeah, and we'll call it in for you at noon.
People at the phones right now, I think you just give them a call, 894-6469, area code 941. I think there's another number, too, isn't there?
I don't believe so.
Well, it's the studio number, but yeah, Mike Trench.
But anyways, get in the line, get in the queue.
Absolutely. Know? Call right now. Right. Why not?
Why not? Right. Make that contribution. We did before we left town, and we expect the listeners to do the same. This is all about you. It's about you making this happen. Well, we are the one. There's no question about it.
Well,
you know, that's what community radio means, community. You know, if we come together, we can make it happen. And it's one of those things. In these times, we need a source of hope. And community radio can give you that hope. It's hard to find it sometimes in other places these days. You can find it in nature. Sometimes when you walk peacefully in nature, you can see that the world is a beautiful place.
Yes.
And it's going to survive with or without humans. But if we want to be here, we've got to have community radio to give us the hope to make this change, to change the world, to save the world. You know, and it's a communication device. It's so important for people to exchange ideas because we can't do it alone.
No.
Some people will pull back.
They've isolated on their mobile phones. No. You don't want to do that. Forget the meeting.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
You want to join hands.
Yes, okay. Join hands, not use your hand for a phone.
Yeah. No, both community radio and spaces like Fogartyville are where conversations happen, relationships form, and community identity grows. I mean, we can think of the number of people that have made lifelong connections at Fogartyville. And, you know, think of the programmers that have been able to meet at the radio station and just form the best of friendships. I mean,
yeah.
I think of you, Bob Connors, and John Dickman, and Hawaii Bob.
Well, you know, Eileen.
And the great times that you have had together, well, traveling.
Yes. John Dickman, I was going to mention, I became involved with Fogartyville before the radio station existed. I was pouring draft beer or collecting at the door and working in the kitchen, so I have to say from 2002, whenever it was that I became a volunteer at Bradenton's Fogartyville, it has been a dramatic impact.
Yes. Thank you to you. And
reminded me of, and I need to do
Mike Finley.
That's exactly who it reminded
Bubbles.
Me. Yes, we need more jazz, Mike Finley. When are you coming back to the radio station? So, yeah, he used to do our dishwashing at Fogartyville in Bradenton, and we called him Bubble Boy. But we love you, Mike.
No. I have to say one thing before our time runs out here, that if people who just became familiar with WSLR in Fogartyville within the last year and a half or two say after, and they weren't aware of David Beaton and Arlene Sweeting, I'm glad they were on the air today, and now they know why the radio station in Fogartyville exists and how it has grown for 20 years, because they've heard the two founders talking for the last 50 minutes. So if you're not impressed with them now, you'll
nothing will impress you.
Yeah, that's why we're here. Thank you so much.
Jeez.
Well, it's changed my life. It's changed your life. It's changed Tom's life. It's changed Darlene's life.
Yes.
You know, and it's changed it for the better.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
You know, the programmers love that station. You know, it has changed their lives, and it can change yours as a listener. So we want to hear from you now, 941-894-6469.
Set your alarms for noon to make sure you get your pledge in during the Giving Challenge 24-hour period.
What a great idea, Arlene.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I was.
And, you know, you got me. So, you know, if when you start something like this, it takes some folks who really believe in you, who have trust. Because I remember that first meeting that we had at Fogartyville Cafe in Bradenton, and most of the people were like, "What? A radio station? That's not going to happen." You know, and it was kind of the same way up here. So it takes a few individuals that really believe in you to get this thing started, you know? And so I just want to give a shout out. I remember we have a little plaque there that we made at the very beginning of WSLR. It's called the 100 Watt Club. And it was people who pledged $1,000 to help us get off the air get on the air.
Right, right.
And it was, you know, and at that point, they were just, you know, really supporting an idea. And we didn't really know if it was going to happen. We'd never done this before. We didn't really know what was involved. But they're like, yeah, we think we can make this happen. And, you know, people like Eve Plews.
Yes.
Were on that list. Oh, you remember, yes. What an incredible show Eve used to have.
Oh, God, incredible.
Gary Olson.
Yes.
We want to give a big shout to Gary O, yes, who was on the air at WSLR for many years and just an incredible board member, an incredible contributor and supporter of this station that really helped us.
On our intern program. He funded that for a year.
Internship program for years, and that really helped our news department get off the air. Here I go again, off the ground.
Paul's the new chairman, or been the chairman for
Paul,
a while.
Paul's doing a great job.
Doing a fantastic job. I know. Captain Wayne Gunther.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yep, on the board for many years, an early believer in what we were trying to do with the radio station. And I think he would be really thrilled to see what's happening there today.
Yes.
We'll have to go see him in Barcelona.
Ah, yeah.
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
So you guys are welcome to come up here and shovel snow in the wintertime. Give us a heads up. We'll schedule you when the snow's falling, okay?
That would be fun.
And you can do a radio show.
Oh, that
that's right. Programmers who visit will get you some airtime up here, and you can hop on and
That sounds like a general invitation to all of our programmers.
Okay. Absolutely.
A guest slot up at Woo Woo.
Yeah.
WUW. How'd you arrive at that name? Is that the sound of a train or what?
That is the name that the new college students wanted to name WSLR.
Wow.
It was still available.
Wow.
So we said in honor of New College and WSLR, we should take that name.
I did not know that. Yeah, wonderful.
And it also because of the train whistle and the car ferry.
Yeah, that's right.
Woo-woo.
Arlene, thank you for the shout-out. Thank you. I love you. Thank you. Like the outfit?
Oh, my God. Hold on. I just see you and Jesse are in matching attire.
Yeah, but it was a coincidence. We didn't plan it.
Oh, are you kidding? No.
Hey, Dave, what's going on? Thank you. Be the one-a-thon.
People
have to come in to see those outfits and Ariel and Jesse. It's amazing.
I think they match the new little camper that they bought, the vinyl retro, right. Whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
We've been seeing pictures online.
I was in it yesterday. Jesse had me go in yesterday. He's got me coming in at 5 a.m. tomorrow. I said, well, I can come in tonight and sleep right in there then.
Then
he says, there's dancing tonight, 11 to 1. You don't want to miss that.
We know you're going to be there.
Well, I want to remind people they can see pictures on WSLR.org, and they can go to our YouTube channel and see a lot of this. We'll be recording it and playing it live, and for later. So, we have a television channel, so to speak, with YouTube.
And I'm honored. We're on before Amy Goodman, right? Amy's up next.
That's right.
Amy's up
right,
next.
Right.
So get your notes out.
Right.
Write down the shows you like. Write the number down,
941-894-6469.
Yes.
Yeah.
And make your contribution and be the one, because you are the one. Because the one together is all of us, all right?
We all are one.
Oh, I like that. We're all one. All right?
I play that song by Jimmy Cliff all the time. That's the exact. Hey, pull that up to Jimmy Cliff. We are one. We are one. Right.
And Bob, I'm on tomorrow morning. I told him to play James Brown.
Get on up.
Get on up. Yeah,
That's Bob's favorite song.
Yeah, I was going to play it today. I didn't have the line in. So
we're going to play it tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock.
Great.
You know, this community has never let us down at times like this. They always come through for our fund drives. They recognize the importance of community media and community space. I know that they will do so again this year. So I just want to give a big thank you out to everybody listening, everyone who has ever supported WSLR. It has meant so much to us and to our community, and we are just so thrilled to see how it's growing and blossoming and just continuing to support and amplify community voices.
Wow.
Yep.
Radio is relevant. I like that. Give today. So I'll let you guys go.
Be the one.
We got 45 seconds, but thank you guys so much.
24 hours. We're going to be tuning in.
You're going to be tuning in? Great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much
for being on today. Thank you.
You bet.
See you soon. Okay. Bye.
Don't forget, you guys, you can go to SarasotaFilmFestival.org and see all about Amy Goodman. She's going to be on in 30 seconds, and it shows the history of the incredible things she did and the way she covered the news for so long. It's a great movie, and you can see it later this fall in Sarasota at Fogartyville. So, okay, 10 seconds, Bob. 10 seconds. Thanks for helping out.
Goodbye. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Arlene.
Please donate today.
Donate.